Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Happy Tuesday. No Steiny today. It's Goo and Grandy with you on Steiny and Goo on 95.7 The Game. I'm feeling good. I mean, we're talking about Nick Bosa, and it's kind of a downer, but I'm feeling good, Goo. Niners are 3-0.
Yeah, and you should be, because if you watch, and I always pat myself on the back for coming up with stuff that I don't think other people do. Teams are starving for wins on Thursday, Monday night, and Sunday in the NFL. And the fact that the Niners have pulled out three of them, Grandy. So now it's just about can you get to 10 or can you get to 11? And if you want to play the schedule game, go ahead and do that. But, man, Kittle will be back. But I'll say this, proceed with caution. Have you seen the meme of the 49ers helmet? Instead of SF, it's got the wheelchair.
Yes.
Whoever comes up with that stuff, I'm sorry. It's like that applies here.
Or the 49 IRs instead of 49ers.
Delicate with those calves.
Hey, I hadn't seen that one. That's pretty damn good. But the bottom line is, I guess I got to be careful on, you know, when the band will get back together, that they won't lose anybody.
Nah, the whole band ain't getting back together.
There you go, man.
The whole offensive band could get back together.
Yeah.
And that might happen, I don't know, 3 weeks from now if Kittle only misses four games.
But as excited as I am on this draft choice and how pretty Ricky looks, that's what I'm calling him. He looks smooth, dope. I mean, man, I am shocked. But they got to put up more points. That's just on the docket. For this team, with this Bosa injury, and we hadn't even got to what it means, you know, the macro part of it, you know, going forward, is the deal good or whatnot? The bottom line is they're undefeated. But, man, Evan, Grandy, I got to really, really ask the offense. You guys got to take it up a notch, too. This is just not on the defense and Salah. You got to score more. And I just don't know why they're not.
So what do you think that'll look like? Who do you need more from? Is it the offensive line? I mean, because I ask because many people are, up in arms about McCaffrey's touches. And what does he have through three games?
Because he had 27.
Game
Sunday.
One, he had 31 touches.
Whoa,
then he had 19. So through two, that's 50. 50.
All right.
And then 27. So
77.
77
so
through three games.
So that's on pace
games.
Of what if you did it over 17?
I'll figure that out for
went
you
to
really
college
quick.
Later than I did.
Well, I'm bringing out my calculator.
Okay, look, my man.
That's 25 and two-thirds touches per game, and then 17 games, that's 436 touches.
No, I mean, but he's done it in his career, and I guess at this point, do you just – I know it's going to sound crazy, Grandy. Do you just ride him till the wheels fall off and just look at Kyle Shanahan like, hey, dudes, I'm showing you guys – I can win with the next man up. I can win with a Garoppolo. I can win with Mr. Irrelevant because he's obviously, you know, as a Niner fan, I want my star to touch the ball that many times. And then when he gets hurt, I'm the same fan that's saying, Grandy, why did you use him like that when you knew he was hurt? So it is what it is, but I think Kyle's sending a message. He don't care.
I think he cares. But there's to a degree, and you can let us know, 888-957-9570. I think we can all agree that without Nick Bosa, everyone needs to do more. Okay. That's not just the defense. That's the offense has to score more points.
Because Ross Tucker's of the world are looking at you to see. I mean, do you think Ross was being too unfair to expect Robert Saleh to do something, to pull a rabbit out of his hat without Bosa and his services, or because I was gloating or giving Robert Saleh his praise, guys like that and gals will be like, yeah, come see me now. Let's see what he can do without Bosa.
I think you guys are both right. Saleh's done a really good job, but now also, okay, it gets tougher. And now prove to us that you're the best DC in football. Wow. But, I mean, the Niners' offense has scored 17 points, 26 points, and 16 points in the three games. They're not setting the world on fire. We could talk about Mac Jones throwing the ball on average 40 times in his two starts. Like, it's not like that's turning into 30-plus point performances. 26 points against the Saints.
Now, DeMarcus Robinson will be back.
True, and 16 points versus Arizona. I bring up the Christian McCaffrey touches because, generally, for this Niner offense to score more, you feel like you're going to need more from Christian McCaffrey. Maybe not on a per-touch or on a touch total basis, but more explosive and get into the end zone more.
They don't have a rushing touchdown.
The only team in the NFL without a rushing touchdown.
That's crazy.
The 49ers.
And they were down there trying to get a touchdown, and McCaffrey tried to stretch it out wide.
McCaffrey.
No, I just like, wow.
And then they decided to throw it on fourth and goal with a hobbled Mac Jones.
Kyle went NWA.
Okay.
That's Ice Cube's old rap group. He went gangster.
Oh, I know NWA. Yeah, who do you think I am?
I owe you one.
Don't know NWA?
Like you had no hip hop knowledge. I don't know, Bob. It's almost hoop time too, Grandy. But yeah, that pass to McCaffrey on fourth and goal, blew me away.
You're talking about how great the coaching job has been, and I'm not disagreeing with you.
Right,
they're 3-0.
Right.
But can I for a sec just it's not a gripe, but just a couple points of frustration with Kyle. So, Mac Jones hobbled. Okay? Third and goal. Where was that from? The one or the two? I think it was the one. Third and goal from the one, and they had just tried to get McCaffrey in the end zone. It didn't work. And clearly, Mac is hobbled. We've seen him limping around for a couple of plays at least. And they call a stretch play to McCaffrey to the right side. And on the stretch, the quarterback actually has to pretty quickly get out there to hand the ball off. McCaffrey's going to the right, so Mac takes the snap and then quickly turns over his right shoulder and sprints out to the right side to meet McCaffrey in his angle.
Tried to.
And he's so hobbled, he has to dive to get the ball to McCaffrey on time. And he just barely got it to him, barely. And McCaffrey did a great job, honestly, of getting back to the line of scrimmage because he was there were three dudes in the backfield, and he managed to slip through them and get back to the line of scrimmage. So now it's fourth and goal. The backdrop is your quarterback can't move. And what do you call? You call a drop back to pass where Mac is bootlegging to the left, and it's like, what? Mac can barely move. Kyle, what are you doing?
They tried to.
The pass didn't even go in the end zone. It was short, even if he catches it.
And there was a missed assignment. There's a pass rusher right in Mac's face. But honestly, that is that's secondary to me. I don't get that play call, first of all, because you have a hobbled quarterback that can't move. Okay, that's one issue. And then later on when the Cardinals punted away, and like a freaking idiot, Sky Moore calls for a fair catch at the 5-yard line. They get the ball. They're backed up. Mac is still limping. You're at the 6, and you're still having a limping quarterback. First two plays, drop back passes.
And then it results
in a safety. What are we doing?
9 out of 10 times, Grandy, you're
run
on
the
fire.
Ball.
Those are game. Those are ball game. And the line would have been around the corner coming at Kyle. But I guess in a crazy world, he's doing, what's the guy that rode the skateboard? Tony Hawk type stuff. Lick bomb, no hands. you can't defy the odds the way that you're doing. And now I got to see how old you are. Fred Sanford, he was gimpy. He walked with a limp. That's how Mac Jones looked on that handoff. After we're like, dude, not call the timeout. He's hurt. What are you doing? He got away with it. But Grandy also, too, I don't need a doctor. I know I suffer from be quiet-itis. It was so hard as you talked and illustrated what those plays were for me not to jump in.
Jump in.
I know I suffer from be quiet-itis.
It's your show, Goo. Jump
but
in.
But what about the 4th and 2? And it worked. I'm just saying there could have been a different play to allow Mac to go up top. It worked. Great pass.
It did work.
And a great catch by Pearsall.
Gutsy.
But Kyle is operating from a there's no fear. He's just letting them hang, man.
Hey, I love that he's going for it on fourth down more often.
That's why they're 3-0. The Seattle game, they went for it a couple times. One to Tanya, just like,
that
oh, Kyle,
been, that
you
are been,
Kyle unplug right now.
That might have been purely Jake Moody.
Yeah.
Now it's just Kyle being aggressive.
No
but
doubt.
You're right. I mean,
I
for quite a while have felt that Kyle Shanahan's biggest oversight has been his conservative decision making on fourth downs.
Yeah, but that play as they went to get the field goal, Arizona wasn't. I call it a screen to McCaffrey to dump off, and that was ball game.
Oh yeah.
But I do think of B. Robinson. Like, they gave him a toss. It went for, like, 11 yards. And I looked at
it. It went for, like, 19
dude,
yards.
But give me more of that.
Yeah,
where did
19
that,
yards.
Yeah, 19.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, he didn't found something. Arizona's tired. It's hot out here.
He didn't have a carry until the fourth quarter.
And again, they got the win. But those are things I'm like, Kyle, you didn't thunder and lightning. Robinson's a big boy to me. He's not an easy tackle. And he just didn't do that. Went away from him. But you said it for 19 yards.
Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. It's Goo and Grandy here today on a Tuesday on Steiny and Goo on 95.7 The Game, talking about Nick Bosa's ACL tear, talking about how the Niners can try to win football games without him. I'm going to go to the phones in a sec, but yeah, no, what do you got?
Have you thought about just this impact on Bosa and his career or him being – have we seen the best of Bosa to you, Grandy?
Man.
Do you think that's fair or not? Goo, you're asking the question with science now. I don't know. Where are you at just when you hear that this is the, second season-ending devastating injury he suffered to his lower extremity?
I love you, Goo. I honestly really hate you asking me that question. Because
I think I know your answer.
I've that thought has crossed my mind the last 24 hours, and honestly, every time it pops in, I'm just like, I don't want to think about it.
All right. So,
it's a fair question to ask.
I got you.
But it's just
we won't know the answer either.
But it's also just emotionally, I'm not ready to even consider the fact that not that his career is over by any stretch, but that he might not ever be what he was.
Wow.
I mean. So the last time he came off of an ACL tear.
Give that to me. That
so he tore his ACL week 2, 2020.
Okay.
The next year he played 17 games and had 15.5 sacks.
Let's go.
Wasn't a DPOY, but then
the
next year,
he got it.
2022, 16 games played out of 17. 18.5 sacks, led the NFL, and was an all-pro first teamer and defensive player of the year. But that's also age 25.
I got you.
The age 24 and 25 seasons.
And next year will be age 29 seasons. Yeah, I heard the guys in the morning with Bonte, Shaskins, Bedoni talking about this, and I had the thought, and we kind of talked about it yesterday a bit, but Grandy, there's no doubt in my mind, his contract situation, he was going to hold out next year to get some new money. And now I think that's totally the last thing he's probably thinking about now, but that's totally off the table now. Because you lost all leverage getting hurt here.
Yeah. I mean,
he'll be fine from the money. But you know what
ACL,
I mean.
Played two games in 2020. Torn ACL, plays three games in 2025. Beyond that, he's been healthy.
Yeah, no doubt.
16 games as a rookie, 17 in 2021, 16 in 22, 17 in 23, 14 last year.
Now, what I don't is the 19.5 combined sacks the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That's, because he almost equaled that in the year he got DPOY.
18.5. Yeah.
But now it's get the quarterback by committee, and Ross Tucker, he kind of set the bar for me, and I sound like I'm in love, but I do love the job that Saul has done with the youngsters and everybody, that defense. Now it's going to really, really get tested.
Let's go back out to the phones, 888-957-9570. Fabian's in Maryland and wants to weigh in. What's up, Fabian?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I got some Niner comments, but Goo, I got a question for you. You can answer this.
Okay,
after.
I'm right here, baby.
Do you want, or do you think the Cowboys should give Micah Parsons a video tribute?
I wouldn't give him. Man, I'm being serious here. Hell no. No video tribute. And you got one playoff sack in four games and dipped up out of there? Hell no. I'll turn it all in if they give him a tribute. Hell no. And Jerry said as much. He said, ain't no tribute coming. We still hurt. and losing. But go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, he did say no tribute.
No tribute. Like, wow, okay.
No, just with the Niners, I was going to say, I think we're in a good spot. You know, we're winning games that we would have lost last year. I think luck is on our side. We got a kicker who seems like he can deliver. I mean, the Bosa thing is, you know, a gut punch. But, you know, we're winning road games and division games and conference games. Easy schedule. I think there's more positive to look at than there are reasons to be nervous. Plus, I think there is a big trade coming for us down the road. So, you know, I think we'll be fine. We're going to miss Bosa, but I think we're good to go. And that's it.
Appreciate the call, Fabian. It's interesting because as we got that call, we got a text that came in, Goo, on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line from the 925. The 925 writes,
Creek.
The irony is that he, being Bosa, was never what y'all thought he was. The guy makes about $2 million per sack. His only year of Defensive Player of the Year and All-Pro was a year that T.J. Watt was out. I mean, between Fabian and the 925, a couple of Niner fans, at least people that watch Niner games, that are feeling like Nick Bosa not that valuable.
And I'm going to keep it all the way 100 with you, Grandy. And I've said on these same airwaves, these same microphones, I've saw Bosa go through a playoff run a couple years ago and didn't record a sack. That's just, you know, that's it. So I've always been asking for more, and I'm not going to sit here and act like that didn't happen, but I'm also not going to sit up here in front and say he wasn't off to a good start, and he was an anchor along with Fred Warner and a leader to these youngsters, because that's the bottom line. But I do get the sentiment that's out there that he might have been overpaid, you know, outside of the DPOY. And it's all Janet Jackson thing, right? What have you done for me lately? But this year, he had two game – he was in on two game-winning plays where the defense saved the game, New Orleans
absolutely.
And Seattle.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, this is a loss, no matter what you feel or think of him.
I know you've been trumpeting this, and you're right to do it. Nick Bosa played basically one quarter on Sunday. The game was 0-0. And he goes out, Niners beat the Cardinals 16-15.
That happened, Grant.
But let me read this stat to you. And I referenced this to Ross Tucker. I didn't have the numbers in front of me in the moment. Bad hosting by me, but I have them now. The Niners' pressure rate with Nick Bosa on the field on Sunday. So when Nick Bosa is on the field, how often on dropbacks are they pressuring Kyler Murray? 45.5% of the time. So nearly 50% of Kyler Murray's dropbacks, when Bosa was on the field, Niners in some way, shape, or form pressured Kyler Murray. When Bosa's off the field, how often were they pressuring Kyler Murray? 28% of the time.
That's a dip.
45% to 28%.
And now that will be tested when Trevor Lawrence is in town, if that trend were to continue. But now you got me, granted, I'm like dibs. I love to watch the games again. It's just fun. It's just what I do.
You be in the lab.
Yeah, there you go. But now that's going to be tested because I'm thinking about Kyler Murray and him just knowing 97 wasn't coming for him. You know, how comfortable was he? You couldn't tell by their production. I know they scored after the Niners took the lead and, you know, break down coverages. But this is opportunity number one to see Jacksonville come in here. And there's nothing worse, Grandy. And I think we saw it last year, too, when pressure's not getting home and the quarterback can shave, make a bologna sandwich back there, do whatever, even on an incompletion, but just know I can let these routes develop. I got all the time in the world to throw as opposed to, oh, my God, I got to run for my life.
Well, and the other half of this is Kyler Murray's average time to throw was half a second longer with Bosa without Bosa on the field. So Bosa off the field, Kyler Murray on average took an extra half a second to throw. And in the NFL world, in the defensive back world where you're trying to cover these amazing athletes,
they are.
A half second is a big deal.
Everything.
And when you're the Niners and you've got, I'm not saying that these are bad players, and I think we had a caller who might have confused what I was saying with what you were saying, because I think he credited something that I said to you, and he was upset.
I'll take it.
He was upset that one of us said it. I'm not saying Renardo Green's a bad player, or
he's
Marquise
young.
Siegel's a bad player, or
I get it.
Or Upton Stout's a bad player. I'm not saying that at all, but those are young guys. And when you're going up against some great receivers, and by the way, this division has amazing receivers. Like, the division, the leaders in terms of yards across the NFL, it's Jaxon Smith-Njigba, it's Puka Nacua, and it's Ricky Pearsall.
Puka Doncic. Yeah.
And those are all in this division.
I got you.
And I'm like, not you got good receivers that this team is going up against. And if you, on average, give the opposing quarterback an extra beat to throw a ball. You're asking your young corners and safeties to cover for an extra half a second. That's the difference, maybe, in giving up a 20-yard gain or getting an incompletion.
No doubt. And I'll say this to that, Grandy. You are spot on, and I'm not putting young Chris Olave in the in that category at all.
He's not bad.
But Renardo Green fell down, and Olave dropped a touchdown.
Yep.
You just think, woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, our first call we took of the day. But if that doesn't happen, you know, and they're learning. They're all learning. Green. So, I mean, man, I just believe this injury to me, when it's all said and done, Grandy, from a defensive standpoint and maybe a team standpoint, because now it's not cute, and it hasn't been, oh, our offense almost got in. Now it's imperative that you get as many points or take advantage of field position, times in the red zone. But the margin of error collectively,
yes,
for this team,
absolutely,
I think now is minute as opposed to what it was with
Bosa. Yeah. We're talking out every angle of this Nick Bosa injury, yes, for the Niners on 95.7 The Game, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And then it goes back to something we were talking about earlier, Goo, because the onus is on the defense and Robert Saleh to make up for Nick Bosa, but it's also on the offense like 24 or more points per game. Brock may be back this Sunday against Jacksonville. We will see. But, I mean, this is a hot topic, and it's going to be a hot topic, I think, all season long,
yeah,
Christian McCaffrey's touches, because naturally you think, all right, you need to score more points. That means you're going to need more from Christian McCaffrey, but I don't think anybody feels comfortable putting more on McCaffrey's plate at this point, do you?
Well, 27 touches and, you know, 2 weeks removed from touching it 31 times. So, I mean, my goodness, he's getting the calls, you know. He's not, I guess what I'm telling you, Grandy, and I thought, you know, in New Orleans when that number, the total number, it went down, I believe it was 19 or something, 17. I was like, okay, maybe he's on a pitch count. He's not. So,
yeah, 17 touches.
But the way this team's been hit with the injury bug.
Pardon me, 19 touches.
Okay, now, yeah, he's got to, you know, you got to think of every player that doesn't even have injury history. Fred Warner,
yeah,
you know, that something might, you know, something bad might happen. But, man, Grandy, I honestly don't believe the Austin and San Jose's and the others that are saying he slowed down. I don't know if I see that. I judge that as when he gets loose like a deer in the woods and it's just him in the end zone and the carpet, that's when I can say, okay, Grant, he's still got that burst. But when you got stuff in front of you, this 3.4 yards, you know, per carry that he's averaging, I think that's him and also mostly the offensive line.
Well, I'm curious. I'm going to look this up as we go. So week one in Seattle, Niners had the ball for 38 minutes.
Oh, man.
And McCaffrey had 31 touches as a result. So they controlled time of possession, and McCaffrey has a bunch of touches as a result. Week two versus the Saints, Niners controlled the ball for about 31 minutes. So it was basically split, and McCaffrey had 19 touches. So
a lot in the air, about this, almost the same.
Yeah, it was he had six catches in New Orleans,
all right,
13 carries, 19 touches, but the time of possession was basically even. And then this past week versus the Cardinals, time of possession was...
They won that.
Yeah, they won that. 25 minutes for the 49ers,
ooh,
but still, we're talking about 27 touches for McCaffrey. So in terms of like touch per possession or per time of possession, this was by far the largest.
Yeah.
This was the most that McCaffrey was asked to do in terms of how many plays are you even running in the first place?
Man, and I just think of that sequence that we keep talking about that, you know, resulted in turnover and downs, the fourth and two where he's throwing to McCaffrey, yep, and he got popped. Like, they couldn't just line up mano-a-mano and we're just going to run it up the gut and get in the end zone. That didn't happen.
Yeah. I got a thought on the McCaffrey touches,
okay,
though, and we can get to that because – his importance only gets amplified when what you're talking about, you need more from the offense. We'll get to that when we come back. That's what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And that segment was brought to you by Moderna. It's Goo and Grandy with you. I'm in for Steiny on Steiny and Goo. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny Show. Let's go.
Yeah, Grandy, I owe you an apology.
You do?
The NWA, that hurt me to think you didn't know who they were. And I wasn't profiling. That just, I don't know why. I just thought you were too young. But I do have a quick question for you.
Yeah?
It's a hashtag random part of the show. Evan Giddings, just like you are trying to be play-by-play guys for any team, I have to ask you, because before you answer, Troy Aikman and Buck are my favorite combo to watch. If I was my last game, I
You're
had to watch.
You were in heaven last night,
no
huh?
doubt. Those are my guys. Who are yours, real quick?
Really quick about that team.
For
now,
football.
Now
yeah.
that it's Monday Night Football and they're on ESPN, and you go from Joe Buck and Troy Aikman to the postgame show with Scott Van Pelt. That's like pretty elite.
And Bad Beats is the best thing.
Bad
going.
Beats is great. I think my favorite football play-by-play guy. Obviously,
you better know, not think.
It's different. On TV and on radio, like those are two entirely different things. I really like Ian Eagle on CBS.
Ian
Eagle might be my favorite
and
NFL.
And he does hoop, too.
He does do hoop. Yeah. He's amazing. He's amazing. I mean, he created everything.
But no Harlan? He's Superman!
Harlan's good, too. I think I like Harlan on basketball more than football.
Harlan's incredible, too, though.
I mean, Willard does a great Harlan impression.
I hadn't heard it.
You hadn't? Okay,
no,
we'll do it. We'll ask him to do it in the crossover. He'll do the
That's
right.
That's not easy.
He'll do the right between the eyes like a big three right in front of a defender.
That's great.
Yeah. And it sounds just like Kevin Harlan.
All right.
Willard does a great right. Kevin Harlan. So we'll have to have him do it for him.
Right.
But yeah, I think Ian Eagle for me. My favorite play-by-play guy.
What's easier for you play-by-play? Because I know you and Evan.
In terms of sport?
Get the sport.
Oh, easiest. I know, they're all different because, like, football, you need to have a good analyst.
Yeah.
Because it's such a, intricate game, right? And if you're doing it by yourself or you got a bad analyst, like, I think it becomes so much more difficult. Basketball is tough because it's so fast-paced.
Yeah. Talk to me.
And if you, like, get behind or you struggle, like, you'll be behind quick and it's hard to catch up and hard to get into a rhythm. But if you're in a rhythm, it's really fun. Baseball is challenging, not because it's so hard to like follow it, but it's slow and there's so much downtime. So there's so much other things that you have to fill the downtime with. So like the prep for baseball and football is so much more tough because you have to have like stories
man.
And you have to have like
Ross
background
Tucker
and all these guys.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Like, where do you know it's too much or not enough if the game is just out of hand? I didn't
think
about that.
And then
that.
Blowouts are tough because no one cares about what the left guard did when it's 40-17.
But like Krupp and Kipe, I can listen
to
they're
the best at that.
They're like, tell me
their
about your mailman.
Amazing.
Yeah. I just love it.
But
man.
Yeah.
When it's done.
It's different. It's different for every sport. There's no doubt. And on Sunday, we got Niners football in action again. And on Sunday, we're going back to Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale for the kickoff show. Great food, great drinks, and great games in the parking lot. The show, that's the kickoff show, starts at 10 a.m. with Evan Giddings and Loneal, and all the early games will be on for you to watch. And get this, this is the best part, Goo. If you're going to the game, a free shuttle to and from the stadium. That's right, park at Laughing Monk for free, join the party, and then take the shuttle back and forth to the game. All you have to do is sign up and reserve a spot. Do it now because space is limited. Go to 957thegame.com, click on the kickoff show graphic, and then click on the Eventbrite link and sign up. We will see you there at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale for the kickoff show beginning at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and a free shuttle, again, to and from the stadium if you are there in attendance at Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale. Okay.
That's big. Free.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. You can save some chicken there.
There you go.
And maybe you have a little more chicken to play with, Goo.
I like it.
We were talking about Bosa's injury, obviously, and if you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. more is going to now fall on the offense to score more points.
Has to.
You talked about red zone issues and all that. You got to be more efficient. You got to run the ball more. I think naturally you would then think you're going to need more from Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey's touched the ball a ton. Do you have a problem? Are you concerned that this is going to result in McCaffrey maybe getting hurt and maybe you're not going to have him in the back half of the year?
I love the question, but I just the bravado coming off of this take is if the coach doesn't care, because this is his baby, right? This is his offense. He knows what life was like without McCaffrey last year. I've thought about this. How can I be more, and I tell my kids this, how can I be more concerned than the head coach? So if he's telling
us. Well, maybe he's got a blind spot.
A lot of people say
he did in 2023 is why McCaffrey was unavailable last year.
But see, I do think then that's not fair. Can you really live your life like that? But you might, that drinking years ago, that's why I'm sick now.
And the other
there
half
might
of
be
it,
something to it.
The other half of it is what you did in 2023 got you to the freaking Super Bowl.
And that's what I'm saying. But wouldn't the players say, coach, I can't do it this much. I can't handle this
load.
Well,
McCaffrey's just a dude who's never going to say that.
So with that combination and that said, Grandy, I got to believe. And right now, let me ask you this. McCaffrey through three games is available for week four, correct?
Yep.
So I got to believe he can handle it.
25 touches per game through three games.
But what I won't, and you're the young gun, what I won't argue with, youngster, and I called you that, is the fact that if he does get hurt naturally, that Kyle would be, if this keeps up, the nature of what we do, hey, could you have spent, could you have lessened the load? But I just love Kyle, even his fourth play calls and his gangster stuff that it seems like he's on. Like, he's not apologizing for anything. He's blowing past stop signs, and it's kind of crazy and cool to watch. But he would not risk the biscuit if he thought McCaffrey wasn't up to it. That's all. You say what then?
Well, it depends, I think, what he thinks he's risking. Is he risking McCaffrey for this year? Is he risking McCaffrey for next year? Is he risking McCaffrey for 2 years down the road?
I don't think he's thinking about anything but this year.
Exactly. So Shanahan's doing whatever he thinks he needs to win on any given day.
Gotcha.
And where I think my biggest issue with Shanahan in terms of McCaffrey's usage, and it really goes for any running back, your number one running back at the time, and it's heightened because McCaffrey is so much better than anybody else you have on your roster. Like, it wasn't exactly the same when your lead back was Elijah Mitchell, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. Like, that's different because
he cooked a little
Elijah
bit.
Was
yeah,
good, but the backup was closer to Elijah than Brian Robinson is to Christian.
Doubt.
So it's heightened now because the difference in the backup is much wider. But my issue with Shanahan in the past was, like, say 2023, Niners win a game by 25 points, and McCaffrey still gets 25 touches in that game.
The Steeler game. I think that was week one. They
week
played
one.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Like, if you don't need him to win... If this carry
Grandy.
Is not going to be the difference in a win or a loss, then don't give it to him. Like, we're at that stage in McCaffrey's football life, in my opinion. But I can't have those gripes through 3 weeks. Is it a lot of touches? Yeah, 31 touches week one, 27 on Sunday. That's a ton of touches for Christian McCaffrey. But guess what? They needed every single one of those to win those games.
Yeah.
If you took off 5 touches from McCaffrey in Seattle week one and 5 touches from McCaffrey on Sunday against the Cardinals, Niners probably lose both those games and are 1-2. Like, I need Kyle to treat this on a game-by-game basis and a drive-by-drive and touch-by-touch basis. Do I need McCaffrey to touch the ball here in order for us to win this game? If the answer is yes, then give him the ball. And if that means he's touching the ball 35 times in a game, that's how you get a win, then do it.
No, and I love it, and that's why I'm done. I've taken the training wheels off of my thoughts of put him in some bubble wrap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's doing exactly, Kyle is, doing exactly what you just said. And at the end of the day, if something were to happen, I feel like Kyle's already brushed his teeth or washed his face and lifted himself in the morning. Like, you know, if he is destined to get hurt, he's going to get hurt if I put him in bubble wrap or not, Grandy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to respect it. But I will say, not the 11 yards, that 19-yard toss to B. Robinson, who went to the Olivia Newton-John of school, rest in peace, Queen.
Physical.
Like, he's just not an easy tackle.
I know all your music references,
dude. Let's get physical. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just tap into that to give the defense another headache of, because this is what I felt watching that game. It's exciting. When I felt like the Cardinal dudes were like, oh, hell no. Nah. We got to go tackle dude. Now, it could have just been a great play call at the time because it got you 19 yards. But it was a different body.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that matters, Grandy.
Well, I'm trying to find, so the fourth down the Niners didn't get on the goal line. Where was this?
He was an afterthought. There was part. Now,
that was his first carry leading up to that one.
And they got him. They stepped
Where
him.
Was this? Hold on, give me a sec to find it.
No, take your time.
But
let's get
Yeah, so it was late third quarter, first and goal from the 6. And that was Brian Robinson's first carry.
And they knew it was coming.
First carry.
I got you. But
3 yards to the 3. Yeah. And then they
got 3.
McCaffrey to the 1. McCaffrey, no gain. And then the fourth and goal from the 1, failure. When they dropped the gimpy Mac Jones back to pass. But that was his first carry of the game. Late third quarter. Yeah. Runs up the middle when everybody knows it's coming. Gets 3 yards. And then his next carry.
Could that have been 3-3-3 though? 3-3-3, 4-1. And then you give it to the monster who was fresh.
What do you mean?
3 yards. He got 3 yards on the first one. Another three. I'm assuming the 4-1. But then, had they not got it, again, we would be taking calls. Why didn't you give it to McCaffrey?
Yeah. But
I don't know.
His only 2 carries was that carry from the 6 where he got to the 3, and then that pitch that you're talking about to the right
19.
Where he got 19 yards, and those were his 2 carries. I largely think the reason why it was not a lot of Brian Robinson was because the Niners only ran the ball to running backs 19 times. And instead of phasing, like, the Niners aren't doing this, like, percentage of the touches. They're not doing, like, McCaffrey gets 85% of the touches. Brian Robinson gets the other 15. They're just doing it like, we need McCaffrey to get X amount of touches on the ground. And if we are simply going to run the ball less, as they did on Sunday, 19 carries to running backs, we're not going to take away McCaffrey's touches on the ground because we think he can break him for any minute. Just the fewer overall touches means Robinson isn't getting his because there's not enough to warrant Robinson. That's the way that I read the situation.
No, and I'm not mad at it. And let's put it, it's been a while. Let's put it right on the table brought to you by Echo Pest Control. Now, the more I'm playing these games, the 3 games.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This year for the Niners over and over.
Yeah.
And you got me thinking about the McCaffrey question. Do you feel like, because every time he gets it, I feel like he can go. Carl Lewis, just
I'm
take
waiting
it to the
for
house.
It.
But has your mind told you that you've seen some slowness? Because Evan, and have fun on vacation, in Diego, but Evan's talked about it, and he says it's not just, apparent to the naked eye, but he feels like there's just been a tad speck of a slowdown per se. But I can honestly say there's not just been that clean, smooth hole to where I can judge McCaffrey and say, oh, now I see it, because there's just been so many objects in his way.
I haven't seen it either. I haven't seen him feel like slower than usual.
I just feel like there's traffic in there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I agree. And that's
because this offense is not good enough the way that it's played, even with Kittle and IU coming back, and maybe those dudes just out on the field with DeMarcus Robinson. You know, you spread them out, and now you have more lanes to run. But I'm just telling you, Grandy, through 12 quarters, I know for a Texas fact that this offense is not good enough to get them to the playoffs if they keep playing this style of offense,
which is just
not
can't
scored,
run the ball
or the point production.
Oh, yeah.
outside of New Orleans.
So what's the solution? What's the fix?
Well, guys are going to get healthy. You got to block better. So it's a collective. And you're getting your starting quarterback back. Is that exciting you that Purdy's coming back?
Yeah.
Okay, it should.
He's definitely a better quarterback than Mac Jones.
And I'm willing to say the same thing.
I think most people with their head on straight would agree. It's not a gigantic drop-off. Okay. Like, the drop-off...
And that's worst-case scenario in case something happened to Brock.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's not just over.
Like, the drop-off from Brock to Mac is nowhere near as wide as the drop-off from Joe Burrow Jake Browning.
Or McCaffrey to Robinson. As much as I like B-Rob, you ain't McCaffrey.
Yeah.
All right.
And some of that is McCaffrey's a better running back than Brock is quarterback, but it's also that Mac is as good of a backup as there is in the NFL.
What part of your DNA, and does any, because I asked Donnie this yesterday, step back and say, are the Niners doing something wrong? Or does Kyle even and John have time to say, whoa, it's me? Or is this just football, Grandy? It's a violent sport, and as Donnie pointed out yesterday, look what happened to Connor. That happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where are you saying, like, who can do a case study to say, hey, you're doing too many push-ups? You know what I mean? You're lifting too many weights. Like, when does it end, though? Because this sends it over the top for me. Like, well, good God.
I have no idea. It has to be, at this point, something beyond, just as you said, buzzard luck. Like, it has to be something more than that. Like, it's unbelievable the injuries that they've dealt with year after year after year. But also,
They still win,
but they're making it harder on themselves with these injuries. Not that they're doing it on purpose, of course. I mean, this is a billion-dollar organization, a multi-billion-dollar organization. And the fact that we think maybe it's possible that there's just malpractice running rampant and that they're the reason their guys are getting hurt, I find that, like, incredibly hard to believe. And, like, at a certain point, like, this is Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's livelihood. Like, health of their players helps them win games, which therefore helps them keep their jobs. I'm sure that they've had these conversations and they've had these thoughts, and I'm sure they have had thorough examinations of their medical team and staff. Like, why is this happening? Are we doing something wrong? Let's talk to our buddies in the Houston organization, you know, in the Miami whatever, and see what they're doing. Are we doing something terribly wrong? Like, those conversations, I guarantee you, have happened. Like, it would be absolute malpractice for the Niners to not think and try to figure out what is going wrong.
I would just love, I hear you, I would love to see what that formula looked like, how you go to the whiteboard and even start to, you know, because with the Warriors, what do we hear a lot of times? I know it's a different sport. They have some mechanism, Grandy, that they can attach you to and see where your body's at.
Oh, they have that with the Niners,
but then you don't know if your Achilles is going. It don't say dead, well, dead.
It's funny you brought up the Warriors, because I remember when Jimmy Butler was acquired, and he essentially said what makes the Warriors so special, at least maybe compared to the Heat. The Heat have crazy Heat culture, and you gotta keep your body weight, body fat under whatever percent or whatever. Shout out Kyle Lowry, who definitely did not. But he said basically, like, the Warriors have this general plan where you can take a day, like, they give you days off. Or you can, it's just like a do whatever you want day.
All
like
right.
Get what you need day.
So they're telling you need it.
Or no, they're saying, like, if you need it, then come in and we'll give you whatever you need. But if you don't need anything, then just, like, kind of take care of your own business, do your own thing, take the day off, spend time with your family, your kids or whatever. But, like, just know that we're here and for whatever you need, we got you.
That's
I don't know how the Niners do it. I'm sure that if there is, like, and they have days off, like today is a day off, like, players are welcome to come into the facility and do whatever they want. But I don't know. You just bringing up the Warriors made me think of those Jimmy Butler comments, because he made it seem like it's rare what the Warriors do across the entire NBA.
Yeah, no doubt. And I thought of Pearsall, just a young pup, right? And he is balling his ass off. But even reporting to OTAs, and I said it to Stani, and I said it to anybody that would listen, I thought it was odd that young guys that are in the offseason doing whatever you're doing, because it's operation, even if you're maxing and relaxing, to take care of your body, but he showed up with a hamstring, a soft tissue, I won't say injury, but it was something keeping him off the practice field from going 100%. So at that point, you know, it felt like there were a lot of guys with just with the Niners showing up to the lab to get started with stuff going on. So right then and there, my formula, Grandy, is, well, that ain't on the Niners because that's on you guys doing whatever you're doing in your king mattress or whatever. But I do wonder if Kyle pulls over to the local 7-Eleven or liquor store, gets a bottle of Jack Daniels, turns on some Lil Wayne, and it, when he gets home and saying, why are these injuries happening? I don't see that, and all you can do is next man up. But it is weird, and it is odd, and what's scary, Grandy, is a game of attrition. This we know. Nobody wants to hear this, but this is me. Who's to say it's over? You know, you got 14. You got 14 more to go.
I mean,
but every team's dealing with them,
again,
right?
We opened this show with your optimism, which I love, and how I tend
where'd
to
they go?
How I tend to lean to the opposite side. I think just a little bit. I do tend to lean that way, and I think an example of that is I read off to you the injuries, the starters the Niners have. Bosa out for the year. Ayuk expected back midseason. Malik Mustafa expected back midseason. Kittle going to miss at least two more games. Has already missed two. Ben Bartsch going to miss at least three more games. Has already missed one. Brock Purdy's missed two. We'll see if that's it. Juwan Jennings has missed one. We'll see if that's it. And where my mind immediately goes, again, the pessimistic side of me may be taken over because we've lived through this time and time and time again for the Niners. Wow, that's almost every single key player. Is McCaffrey going to be next?
Wow.
Like that's where my mind goes to.
You said it earlier and I kind of fought you off, but now I get what you're like. How can you not default
to
that?
Like, what's next? Trent Williams?
I mean, and those are like the fall off there is, and we saw that last year with the stuff, the personal stuff he was dealing with, and, you know, his physically, there is no.
And he got a little banged up week one, too.
Man.
Immediately.
So, man, the 3-0 is to me. What is the saving grace, Grandy? And I'm being ultra negative with this one. But when you go 3-0, you have afforded yourself a luxury to where, let's just say, the bottom fell out for 3 weeks and you lose three in a row. You're still 3-3 with
survive.
Two division wins.
Do you remember 2 years ago when the Niners started 5-0 and then Jake Moody missed the game winning field goal in Cleveland? Christian McCaffrey fumbled in Minnesota.
Look at you.
And then I forget what the third loss. Oh, the third loss was at home to Joe Burrow and the Bengals when Joe Burrow went off.
That was a clinic, yeah.
And then they went from 5-0 on top of the world, best team in the world.
Amazing.
Everyone thought they were going to win the Super Bowl, running away with it, and they lost three straight games. And then they were 5-3, and you're like, oh my God, is this team in trouble? And then they came back after the bye, and I think they reeled off 10 straight wins again.
Good call.
Now, that's a different team than this team, obviously. And that was, I don't remember all the specifics of injuries then. I don't think they were fully healthy, but not as banged up as they were now, and they had Bosa that whole year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're right. Starting 3-0 does give you the ability to not freak out if you lose a couple of games.
And that is worst-case scenario. What if you go, you know, 2-1, you're 5-1. But, man, Grandy, it will be curious to see where this thing goes. And right now, all you can say is thank the football gods. You've earned everything that you've gotten. You've been without most of your stars, and I think a lot of teams in a lot of other places would not be off to a 3-0 campaign. So can you just continue that? But to get the news yesterday, and I was thinking, you can share with me as quick as you can, Grant, I know we're up against it. When Bosa was putting his thumb down to his parents, why did I think that was just – I'll be good. You know, I might not come back today, but I'm going to be good for the future. Why did I think that? Maybe because he was walking.
I was on an emotional roller coaster because at first, watching the game on Fox, and I saw the thumbs down, my mind immediately goes to, oh, he thinks it's bad. Like, he thinks it's really bad. He thinks it, like, torn ACL season over. And then I'm sitting here doing overtime, our post-game show.
Sterling. I was listening.
And I play what Shanahan said about it, and Shanahan basically said, we can't rule anything out yet, but initial tests, you know, makes it think that it's not a full tear or whatever his wording initially was. And then my mind goes to, well, okay, maybe they avoided disaster. Maybe it's only going to be a month. Maybe he goes on IR, misses four or five games.
That's a win.
Compared to what it is now, it's definitely a win. So I was thinking first terrible, then I was thinking, well, maybe they avoided disaster, and then we got the news yesterday, and now I'm back down in the dumps again.
A clean tear.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we got to hit a break. Okay. But we do, I'll play some of the sound that Doc Pandya said earlier today with the Joes on the morning roast. I know it teased it earlier, but Goo and I have been rolling. So we'll get to that when we come back. Doc Pandya talking about, first of all, what a clean tear means. Also, the fact that this is not the first, but the second procedure that Nick Bosa will have on this ACL. He had an issue with this same knee in high school. Yeah. And then he suffered the full tear of the ACL on his other knee in 2020. Goes back to the same knee that he hurt in high school here the other day. We'll hear about Pandya on that. Also talking about Niner injuries in general. About the Niners' bad luck on injuries. We'll hear from Doc Pandya on that as well. It's Goo and Grandy on Steiny and Goo. We're back with more here on 95.7 The Game in just a sec. And that segment was brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.